Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 573. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Shrek!
Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the Perfectly Shrek Show.
20 seconds into the show. Jesus. Earl is here.
Do you know that Eddie Murphy claimed that Shrek is his best work ever?
That's
it's like terrible. Coming to America right underneath Shrek.
I have to imagine. It's probably Shrek, Coming to America, Beverly Hills Cop, 48 Hours, Shrek 2. Just like
not Mushu, like, not Mulan.
Nope. I'm assuming Shrek probably refinanced several of his mansions.
That's very likely. And he did do four of them, so
I had to knock down Christmas the walls. Bring in the Shrekking crew, you know.
Jesus Christ!
This is the universe's revenge for like Chris's month of torturing his wife with that song over and over and over again.
Oh, speaking of which, I need to send out today's link for that. Thank you, Tony.
You're welcome.
My wife will thank you for that one. Actually, today's is today's special video is a special made video from our friend Boots from one of his podcasts.
Oh, nice.
Where he and one of his co-hosts sang the song.
Well, I mean, for people who not in the know, can you share what song it is?
Yes, Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. My wife hates it, so my kids and I came up with a playlist which will span 33 days. Every day it is a new...
At the end of Mariah Carey advent calendar.
Basically, yeah, it's like a cover or a Mariah Carey performance of it, or yeah. And then she like goes, "Well, I'm not listening to it." So then my kids just like they'll like take over the Alexa or the Bluetooth speaker in the other room and just like play. And it's like they'll sneak attack too, like. They just won't say anything, and like she's like listening to some music, and then all of a sudden it just like kicks in. So, yeah, and we actually have something planned for Christmas Day for it. So
they're getting a cameo from Mariah Carey.
That would be excellent, but no.
Your wife comes home on Christmas morning, comes downstairs, and there's Mariah Carey with a microphone.
I mean, at this point, I would not be surprised if Mariah Carey made house calls to sing that damn song. Like, you want to talk about Shrek rebuilding mansions for Eddie Murphy?
I mean, that it is a ridiculously successful song. Like, multiple times platinum.
Yeah, didn't it just hit like 1 billion streams or something insane like that recently?
Yeah, probably. And I mean, I don't know. I don't know where the song came out, what, like the mid 90s or so?
I did not realize it was that old until, because she's really kind of, I mean, I would, but she really milks it because she does like the whole like social media rollout for it around Halloween and stuff like that. Like, I think this year she has, like, pumpkins that said, too soon, too soon, too soon. And then, like, November 1st, she had on this dress and she's smashing them. And the song's so strange. Yes.
You know what song is also like that? Hallelujah from Shrek.
Not holding out for a hero?
No.
I mean, I think Hallelujah is probably, like, a you don't have to pay the rights for that one anymore, right? Like, anybody can do that one at this point. I think Mariah Carey still does have the rights to her song, so.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
$1 billion streams on Spotify, and it sold 10 million copies.
So it's a diamond. It's a diamond single.
Yeah.
And it's like hit number one multiple times.
Every year, it's like I think it's hit number one. I think it was number one last year, like the number one song of the year because it gets played so much.
Why? And when we started it, you know, it was just like, you know, it's just like a troll joke type thing. But there are a lot of covers. Like, I wasn't sure that we would like have enough to like get through, but. So many. Like, we have enough to, like, do it again next year.
Wait, so, as part of this, when is the actual song?
When are we going to give her the actual song?
Yeah.
Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, we have not... Well, I mean, I guess she has... Like, her version has been in a couple of... Like, because there's, like, a... I think I kicked it off with like this video from this guy like a decade ago who did a chat roulette version of it.
No.
It's very funny video, which probably took him hundreds of hours to get all the footage for, but it's her version of it with him lip syncing to people on chat roulette in full on Mariah Carey, like dress up. And then like I think the other day there was like a Michael Bublé version with Mariah Carey. Like she's done duets with like there's a Justin Bieber duet with her. That's an awful one. I did not utilize that one. Yeah, I mean she gets out there, she sings that song. We just got some super new Shrek news that have just popped into our show notes. Shrek 5, I guess, is on its way.
Is it really?
Oh, no.
That's what we just got in from our buddy Walt, who sent us this fan bolt article, say Shrek 5 release date, cast and news updates.
I know that there's an announce right now. Though. I think Walt is just a good for Shrek, but yes, I am so very, cause I mean, like we said, I actually do think 1 and 2 are actually really enjoyable films.
They're quite good. We should in fact watch them together.
Sure. Do we want to do a commentary track for Shrek 1 and 2?
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Just Jeff yelling in the background. Why are we doing this?
I will say one of the last social activities I did before lockdown. We watched. We binged Shrek 1, 2, 3 and Puss in Boots. And like November of 2019. Yeah.
But like you've recently watched them and you think 1 and 2 still hold up. So
yeah, I do. Cause I mean, especially I think 1 is in particular because I think, you know, it's outside of context now, but it's very much a parody or a satire of like Disney films of the '90s.
Yeah.
The musical, and I think a lot of that, it works and it's smart. I think where, and again, 2 works because I think Shrek and Fiona's story still works. It's like once they settled in 3 and 4, they don't really have anything that keeps it there. Like, I think 3 is when he finds his, like he tries to find somebody else to take over the kingdom, and then 4 is when they have the kids. But I think really what becomes the issue with them is I think they go from that tired of parodies and they don't, because basically what they become is what I hate about a lot of parodies of the 2000s, which is just like reference, don't you get this reference, instead of being like actually smart and clever on its own while poking fun at the genre. It's just like, yeah, we're just going to reference stuff, so you better get used to it.
Yeah, and I think that might be what Jeff remembers about Shrek, like, as opposed to when it was, you know, actually good.
Yeah.
Well, when we all watch it together, we'll be able to bring clarity to his memories.
Yes. Good that he's not here so that we can just sign him up for this.
I'm glad he agreed. Thank you, Jeff. Contribution is appreciated.
His own recurring nightmare.
For those wondering why we were talking about Shrek, we're not sure, actually.
I was going to say, I actually have no idea. Like, I know it came from Walt. I don't know why it came from Walt.
Not sure, but it has been a running gag for, like, the last week now. And it's escalated.
Clearly, we're going to watch into a commentary track.
I mean, unrelated to us, Jeff did say that, like, I guess Twitter did, like, you know, trending topics and stuff. Shrek was number 9 in terms of movies, so somebody out there is talking about it.
I meant to look this up because I assume, like, it's the movie's 20th anniversary or something like that. Yeah, but even then, that would it, like, because, like, 20th, you also had the Lord of the Rings. Yeah. There's a bunch of movies that had anniversaries this year. So I don't know why Shrek, but I will also say just real quick, because I clearly we're not talking video games. But I mean, just culture, I found it very interesting that all 10 movies are American productions. I mean, half of them are superhero movies. And then you get TV shows, and TV shows are just a cavalcade of countries and the shows. And I'm like, it points to, like, how regional TV is compared to movies. And I think especially as Americans, sometimes we don't, like, realize that, like, there's a lot of shows that are super popular that we never hear about.
Yeah.
Or like, you hear about after the fact. Like, even for all of the, you know, as successful as anime can be, I think it's still is kind of seen as, like, a niche market in the States. In terms of, like, you can't watch anime on TV, really.
Yeah, you have to, like, sign up for, like, Crunchyroll or something like that.
Yeah.
I know nothing about anime.
Okay, just as an aside, I think there's an Imagine Dragon concert going on right now.
In the Video Game Awards.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, part of it I give them because they do the song for the League of Legends animated series.
Okay. But
yeah, I mean, it's just it's up there with the Game Awards started off with a performance by Sting.
That's really weird. Like, Sting from The Police, right? Not like, yeah, Sting from AEW wrestling. Either one would be weird, I think, but
I don't know which one would be weirder.
Yeah, I mean, well, AEW is supposed to be having a game coming out, at least. So, like, is there, like, a Police rock band coming out? Like,
I think he said it was from something tangentially related to video games. I forget what, but he did try to. This is just so. My favorite part about this, though, sometimes, is, like, this stuff will happen, and the audience just does not know how to react. So you'll hear, like, is it over? And then you'll hear, like, a smothering of, like, applause or whatever. And I think other people catch on. It's a few that's also happened with, like some of the cameo appearances and stuff from celebrities. Okay, people knew this was. I don't know if people are cheering that it's over or that. No, some people are standing up, so some people enjoyed that. I mean, I like Imagine Dragon. I'm not going to be one of those. It's just such a weird thing to have in. We're 2.5 hours into this Game Award.
Right. You know, get whoever you want to do musical interludes, but, like, for a show that doesn't devote any time to the actual awards that it's named after, it is weird to have, like, two musical guests probably cut up, what, 10 minutes, 15 minutes of time on stage.
Yes, I think.
For something where people on Twitter right now are saying that they're kind of burned out. It's been a long show.
Yes. And the funny thing is, I was talking to a friend yesterday, because we were talking about like how, you know, like the Oscars ratings are down and stuff like that. And I was saying part of the reason why I think the Game Awards still works is because they kept it to 2 hours. It doesn't tend to run over. And you know, the next, like maybe 10 hours later, he announces it's a 3.5 hour show because it's a 30 minute pre show. I'm like, oh, damn it.
Never mind.
Cause,
argument, I mean, dead.
As a fan of professional wrestling, I can tell you that extra hour adds a lot, because there's just not a lot of things that hold people's attention for 3 hours. It's the reason why a lot of movies tend to try to aim for 2 hours. I mean, the sweet spot used to be 90 minutes, but
yeah,
there's just not enough momentum. And just as an update, since I'm keeping track on it on Twitter, and I'm updating it now because we're at the top of the half an hour, this is the 8th award they've given out in 2.5 hours.
My God. It's not an award show. It's a bunch of trailers with some awards sprinkled in.
I guess a video game trailer showcase night is not a marketable name, though.
Like I said, I think we had this discussion last year or the year before, because, you know, it comes on while we're recording. Is that if they were branded anything like the future gaming show or something like that, I think that's an E3 show, or year in previews or something like that, I think it'd be so much better, because the awards are such an afterthought to this, and I think it does such a disservice, because I do think there is room for an actual proper video game award show. Now, the counterpoint is people are going to bring, like, there's DICE, there's, what is the other big one? The BAFTAs.
Mm-hmm.
So there are real big award shows, but
this is kind of just like the mainstream one, though, that, like, everybody tunes into, or everybody has access to. Like, DICE and BAFTA, I don't think are really easily streamed, or they don't hit the mainstream in the same way.
They don't. And I would also say, and again, money wise, it's just like they don't have the production values that this has. Like he did a fantastic job last year when it was just a virtual, him on a virtual background. And it has production values. This stuff that they've introduced that I've seen I think they were just be incorporated into like the Oscars and other award shows. So if a few years ago they did like the AR stuff on the stage, and like actually making the stage kind of ivy and seem active instead of just like a static background or curtains and stuff like that. But again, so much of it goes to waste. You have this giant, like, he's hard you on the stage. They've given out 8 awards. The speeches are maybe a minute long.
So what award did they just give out?
I don't even know. I honestly don't even know. Like, because I'm half paying attention to it. I just see like when
the accessibility award. Innovation and accessibility.
Okay. Which is ironic, because as somebody pointed out, they don't name the nominees. So that is a huge accessibility access for people who are hard of hearing. Or, you know, like, so there's two sets of awards. If you've seen the Game Awards, there are the ones that are, you know, somebody comes out, they give like the stupid fake humor. This isn't the Game Awards thing. That is, I always find that humor so awkward, because very few people can make it seem natural. So they did that. So there's 8 of those, and those usually come with like trillions of the nominees, but never ever do they say the name of the actual game. Then there are the other awards, which are the ones I was talking about before, the rapid fire ones, where like, they just kind of like, here's the nominees and here's the winner. And literally those will just be like the names on the side of the screen and then the winner announced. So like, they need somebody to be like, saying the names of the game, because like one of that came up today, because like the winner for best mobile game, I think, was Genshin Impact, and she mispronounced it. I probably mispronounced it as well. And I'm like, yeah, like, you need to train people on how to say this stuff so that stuff doesn't happen. And I think one of the ways is like have a robot voice or something say it ahead of time, or, you know, just so people know what actually nominated.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, Jeff has joined us.
Hello.
Did you bring your Shrek fact?
My who?
Your Shrek fact.
I don't know who that is.
This is the Shrek podcast. You need to bring a Shrek fact every time.
Just to fill you in, Jeff.
Congratulations.
Yes. Congratulations. You've been signed up to do a Shrek commentary track for the first
movie. Shrek thing has to end. Shrek. Like, it has to end. We have to stop it.
I agree.
This is his idea, Jeff. So
we're going to call it The Shrekening.
There you go.
Those movies are, like, I'm sorry, even the first one, not good. I don't think I've seen any of the other ones, but...
Well, those movies aren't good that I haven't seen. Good work, Jeff.
Well, we'll find out your real thoughts when we watch it.
And... Well, if the first one's bad, the other one's got to be bad.
I tend to prefer two over one, but...
Wait, Chris, did you just admit to a Shrek preference?
Yes, I prefer Shrek 2 to 1. And
we
I don't like
to tell people that Chris likes Shrek.
Sure.
I think that's what that's I just fine. Heard.
Yep. I mean, it's all selective hearing with this Shrek stuff, so. Okay. Well, the Game Awards are still running, probably going for another 4 hours, so we'll update as they happen. There was some stuff that came out of there that Earl was so nice, because he is the only one watching it, to fill us in on. New Star Wars game from Quantic Dream.
Yes, because nothing says exciting like Quantic Dream. And as everybody pointed out, the fun irony of Jeff Keighley opened the show with, like, we're taking a stand. We do not support harassment in the game industry of any kind. And then here's a Quantic Dream game.
Yeah, so. That's like bad placement, like really, really bad. Like,
I mean, it's no good place to put a Quantic Dream game, but no. That's besides the point.
Yeah, but not immediately after... We're down with abuse. Hey, here's this new game from this abusive developer.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's going. I have not seen the trailer. People did seem to really be like into it up until it was revealed that it was Quantic Dream. So.
Maybe it's me. Maybe I mean I think it's Star Wars, so people just have a affinity. We'll get to that in a second with another announcement. Because I watched it, and like half the trailer is like some dude banging on some drums, and then seeing like quick cuts of characters, I'm like, I don't know what there is to get excited about in this game so far. Like it's and again because it's Quantum Dream, I'm just like it's Quantum Dream.
It's gonna be a game full of quick time events and dialogue choices.
Yes,
which is fine. No, like I like adventure games, but some people are going to be disappointed by that.
Yeah, maybe people don't know who Quantic Dream is or something, but I mean, tangentially related to that because it's very similar in both regards. I'm sure I'm about to get some angry messages as Telltale announced a Star Trek game as well. So we will also get a you know adventure heavy choice space opera. But Star Trek isn't a space opera, sorry. Sci-fi game there, too.
I would say, I guess, and I don't know, maybe you guys could tell me I'm wrong on this one, but The Expanse, which Telltale also is doing a game for, I would think that's more space opera-y than Star Trek.
Yeah. I'm not seeing The Expanse, but yes. I mean, because Star Trek was supposed to be the Thinking Man's sci-fi series. I mean, it's kind of like the big original one, and
this one is like set in a certain time period, right? Like set during one of the shows, or
I don't know when it's set exactly, but Spock makes an appearance.
Okay,
so it has to be set during like I forget when he dies in the actual movie.
If he died. Multiple times, doesn't he?
Well, yes. I meant, but like, because I know Kirk dies in, Generations?
I believe so. That's the one where there's like some time warpy stuff.
Yeah, where he kind of gets stuck. And yeah, and I think everybody else from his crew is dead by then. So they're dead before the start of Next Generation. I think, again, like, I'm going to get some angry Star Trek fans being like, no, that's not right. That's not what happened. Spock is forever. Because he, you know, he also exists in the, what is it called? The Calvin timeline?
Which yeah, is the Chris Pine. AK.
Yeah.
Is it Chris Pine? It's Chris Pine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the J.J. Abrams trilogy of films. Yeah, that Spock shows up there. That's more of a timeline thing, though, I think. Like, some time travel shit going on.
Oh, that's right, because they travel back in time and meet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's... but, yeah, Spock... Because there's two Spocks, because there's Leonard Nimoy and the other...
Zachary Quinto. Yes,
Zachary Quinto. They're both in that. I did think Vulcans lived longer. I don't know a whole lot about Star Trek.
Yeah, but we should just stop before we piss off somebody. Yeah.
I've seen the movies. Like, I've watched, you know, I've seen the Next Generation and Voyager. I can't remember any of it.
I enjoy it. I don't understand it.
I mean, this is an aside, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, it's just really funny. We are getting a trailer for Halo Infinite right now, which, again, fine, it's just really weird to do it the day after the game comes out.
Yeah.
But, oh no, this is a TV show, sorry.
Okay, well, that's timely. That's actually, that is timely, makes sense, yeah. Good for them.
It looks fine, it looks good, it looks like the Halo. I've been so dude funny because I said that it's, he's like, that's Master Chief. I'm like, yes, the guy in the Halo Man.
Halo Man.
But somebody needs to get Paramount Plus. So
I have Paramount Plus, so I don't know if I could share it with all of you.
Oh no, I use my friend's account. Okay. But if anybody's in need of AMC Plus,
I don't know. Like, Paramount Plus has like a bunch of Star Trek shows that I haven't watched either.
Yes, my favorite is Lower Decks.
Oh, that's the cartoon one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that one looked fun.
It's though I am told you get more out of it if you actually know, Star Trek. So I'm sure I'm missing stuff.
I know, like, beam him up, Scotty.
Yes. Some of it I get. Like, some of the captains and ships I get. But there's references.
Luke, I am your father. Wait, sorry. No. Yep. That's wrong.
I think we've had this discussion before. They're going out their war for best game direction.
Which is weird.
Yes.
Because wouldn't that just be the best game?
I think we've had this. I don't know what it
like
means.
We don't know what does a game director do, like what?
What, because it's not best game director. Yeah. It's best game direction. So is that like? I don't know. I feel I literally think we've had this conversation before because I think it's them trying to make, you know, like how you best director and best movie. Granted, I'm also of the mindset that if you're the best director, in theory, that means you should have made the best movie of the year. So when the best director and the best movie are two different things, that's weird.
Agreed.
You make an interesting point.
But
Jeff, you got an opinion on that one?
On what?
Best director versus best film.
If you look at like sports, like you could be coach of the year and not lead a championship.
Yeah.
Like there are other challenges, but like,
yeah,
your actors aren't out there getting injured on the field, right? You're not like, oh my God, Tom Cruise was suspended for 7 games. And
like, I think it could go. I think you could split the award. Like, I think it's fine. Like,
well, I mean, it's good to the award.
A great job directing doesn't mean it's the best movie. At the same time,
what did you do the best job directing?
A movie could be well directed and not be the best thing ever. Like, there's things that are going on in directing that are outside of story. You know, you could direct the shit out of a fucking movie that doesn't have much of a story or isn't, you know.
But how do you know?
That
we mean,
well,
that,
I mean,
how,
well,
how do that I know? Movie was greatly directed, even though although Yakker.
Well, we're not the
a
ones.
Lot of it, yeah,
we're
not a lot of it is falling on. You're giving credit to people that are doing other jobs. You know what I mean? Like the cinematographer and the editor are probably the ones that, like the director benefits from what the cinematographer and editor does so much. They're kind of the ones that make the movie, but you know the director's like the manager of all that, and they have final say in everything and all that.
And it's also at least with, you know, the Academy Awards with movies, it is industry people like directors, actors, other people right. that are members,
people
of,
who understand the difference.
Yeah, what might make a director over Best Picture, why you might split that as opposed to this, which I think is voted on by like people like us, but that have bigger platforms. So yeah, I'm not sure like what best game direction versus best game, like what the split there is.
And just as an aside, in the time you folks are talking, we've given out about six awards.
Oh, rapid fire.
Yes, this is the second rapid fire.
We must be getting to the end.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's the big reveal anymore.
It's good. Did they reveal the GTA Dr. Dre stuff?
Oh, they didn't. So it might be that.
I mean, that had already leaked, but so. And the other big thing, I guess, was Alan Wake 2 was announced. That was the other thing I saw people very yay.
Yes.
For.
Well, that is not my big thing, but.
Oh, I like Alan Wake. I know Tony does not like Alan Wake. Jeff, you like Alan Wake?
Yeah.
It's weird that it's coming back 10 years later, but whatever. I will play Alan Wake 2 in 2 years when it gets released.
Yes.
Just kind of the other thing with this award show.
Oh, that would make sense. It's Elden Ring, isn't it? Yeah. Yes. So my big thing, of course, they announced the Wonder Woman game. It's a teaser. I'm not expecting it. So like 2024, anytime for them would be happy coincidence. But yeah, I'm honestly more happy that it's like DC remembers they own people other than Batman. You have yeah.
And it's by Monolith, like, right?
Yeah, so
it's
the
probably be an open world game.
I'm kind of curious if they bring the Nemesis system. Because again, like, I mean, the good thing with Wonder Woman is like you can set it in modern days, but she also has the other side of it where she has the entire Greek
pantheon.
Pantheon accessible to her, so that would be cool to have all of that set it near Themyscira, and have all of those creatures accessible as well.
Was there anything else big? I think those were the three big ones I noticed from what you had said.
We got some. I think those might be the big ones. We got a look at Sonic Frontiers, which looks like an open world Sonic game. And honestly, nothing else. Like they don't really show him running around or interacting with the world too much. We got first gameplay of Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League, which looks like a ton of fun. Did not help me understand any more what type of like it looks like it's a co-op shooter, I guess. But it has like a lot of traversal kind of like Deathstroke looks like an actual Deadshot. Looks like an actual fun version of Anthem to play. So we'll see.
Oh god.
Yeah, that can go either way.
And that's the Rocksteady one.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is also really weird to me because I still think Gotham Knights is supposed to be out before it. And I feel like we've seen more of Suicide Squad. Because Gotham Knight was the one that was due this year.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I mean, a Final Fantasy VII remake is coming to an Epic Games Store next week.
So people are speculating that may finally hit Xbox at some point soon then.
Yeah, what I am fascinated by is like this is the second port, the third version of the game overall, and it's like it's been what 2 years, 3 years?
Yeah, we're going on three. Yeah, no, two. Like... Going on 2 years.
Okay, I'm 2019. Okay. Yep. I didn't know if it was 2019 or 20. Wait.
No, it was 2020. Oh, came out 2020.
Did it?
Yes.
For some reason, I thought it was before the pandemic.
It was coming out right around the pandemic. It's like April.
Yeah, it's like April 2020. So yeah, we're going on 2 years. I think people just kind of want it's still kind of only part of a game.
Yes, I mean it is a complete.
It's a complete experience.
Yes,
but it's only part of the game they remake.
Yep. And actually, like if you're going by the storyline and areas that they visit in the original game, like it is only covering like a very fractional amount because it is only in the opening area. The Final Fantasy VII Remake only takes place in Midgard for the most part. So, good. I'm glad that that's finally coming out, I guess, for PC people.
Yeah. It is sad when you meant, like, we had a trailer for Sonic and hit the whole TV show, as I mentioned. It is sad when you mention it, like, trying to break down 3 hours of content. It's like, yeah, it's like four announcements that are interesting.
I guess while we're on the subject of news, before we actually talk about some games we've actually been playing, there was that weird Ubisoft NFT thing, which seems to have been walked back since it was revealed.
It's still coming, but it does seem like they are not as gung-ho about it. What is it, Quartz?
Quartz, yeah. So... my understanding of that trailer, which is no longer available because it was basically downvoted to hell, and Ubisoft removed it because of that, you'll be able to buy cosmetics in Ghost Recon Breakpoint that are NFTs. They will be specific to you, so you will be the only one that owns those cosmetics, and then you can sell them if you want when you are done with them. So I mean, that's a thing, I guess.
Yeah, it's well, what I started, I'm like honestly speaking, I'm actually like looking at, like, how would I notice, like, because like the, and because it's a helmet, and then the helmet has like a custom number on it.
Yeah.
Engraved.
It's, like, it's an engraved, yeah, number.
I'm not gonna be looking that close at your helmet. I don't care about cosmetics in general, and this is coming from a guy who has way too many Fortnite skins. It's like, and I mean, part of it is like, you already do this. Like, you already sell cosmetics in games. This is just another. And then the thing is, and I hate to get into this conversation because I don't know what you folks' thoughts on, but like, NFTs to me feel like such a NFT is it's a supply without a demand, because the assumption you're making is that other people would care about, like, if you had 001 as a number or something like that, that people would care enough to buy it from you.
Right. I don't care to buy it from you. Like, I mean, I guess if you were to be like, hey, we are releasing Batman into Ghost Recon Breakpoint, you can play as Batman, but only one of you can play as Batman. Like, I guess maybe there you might have some interest.
That, I think that hurts it more than it helps it.
Right. But there are stupid people that will be like, yes, I want to be Batman. I want to be the Batman.
Are there enough stupid people?
I mean, that's...
And how much are these stupid people willing to pay?
That's the big thing, right? Like, how much are these stupid people? There are, I think we have found that there are plenty of stupid people.
That is fair. That is fair.
The last 5 years have kind of proven that there are a lot of stupid people out there. I don't know if they are stupid and want to buy helmets for Ghost Recon Breakpoint, Cause I don't know how many people are playing a game that's, what, 2.5 years old at this point?
Yeah, maybe it's the helmets. Maybe, because I'm just trying to think, like, okay, I think a better example is we all play Halo right now. It's like, even if you got like a helmet, like, or an armor piece that was custom engraved, I don't care enough to go through the battle pass as it is to get the stuff they give me for paying them already. I can't imagine giving anybody any amount of money for something they own because I want it that badly.
Right. Yeah, no interest in that at all from my side, so. I guess the other thing here was that they released this like Matrix Awakens Unreal Engine 5 thing on a PlayStation 5 and Series X. I did not.
But it's not live yet.
Does it go live after this show is over?
Yes, I think okay. I think this is supposed to reveal it and then it goes live.
Okay, yeah, because I booted it up when they were like, you can download it now. I was like, all right, I like the Matrix. Want to see what Unreal Engine 5 looks like. And it was just a countdown on it, so.
That sounds like Unreal Engine 5. I mean, I don't think we have a game on it yet.
No.
Oh, no, I think Fortnite's actually on Unreal Engine 5.
Okay. But, I mean, that still looks like Fortnite, so.
Yeah, but now it's on a new engine. Which I will say, it was really funny because we started paying, because the new engine went live over the weekend, and we started paying. My friends like, oh, they did this, they did that. I'm like, Yeah, my 100%. I'm like, this still looks like just like Fortnite. Don't get me wrong, Fortnite's a good looking game. It has one of those things that I think are super rare in gaming, which is like it finds an art style that brings all these eccentric characters together in a uniform way that doesn't look gaudy or, you know, too messy. I mean, I think we joked about this when the Avengers came out. It's like it has better Marvel characters than that game does. I think it also has better than Marvel characters than Guardians game does. They have anime characters, they have DC characters, they've got movie characters, and it all works. So yeah, like the art style's good. I think this is the Matrix thing.
Is that their big reveal?
Wait, what is this? I don't think this is the Matrix.
So Fortnite kicked off season 3.
Chapter 3,
that's what it was, cuz the seasons are like a couple months
long. Yeah, it's very confusing. Yes.
And the map is completely new or just kind of like shaken up again?
It is completely new to me. I did not play chapter 1. To really have a comparison, but it's completely new. Like essentially what they did according to them. I mean, it is what happened in the lore is the island fit. So, and I'm kind of curious because like right now, like 3/4 of the island I would say is covered in snow. So I'm kind of curious to see what happens when that starts melting. But yeah, it has a lot of new, like, okay, my friend got annoyed at me for complaining about this. Because it is all new, it's assets and stuff reused and reorganized in certain ways.
Right.
So you go to certain places, I'm like, oh yeah, this is just so and so, but like now this is facing this way, or this is lower and this is higher. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You're not going to create a whole new asset, but a lot of like the structures and layout are not similar, but it's like okay, this is like the retail area. This is kind of like the housing area. This is kind of, you know, like, but yes, I mean, I think the big additions really are the movement stuff. You have, because Spider-Man is the big get in this chapter, so in this season, I should say. So you have, there's a bunch of webs around the map, and you can use that to like, bounce and jump higher. And you can also get a power up that makes you swing around like Spider-Man's webs. They added a side move now, which helps with movement and, you know, getting around faster at the disadvantage of you not being, you know, your aiming's not as accurate because you're kind of sliding downhill. And this one I actually find really funny is that not for everything, but they've added the ability to certain stuff you break, like certain trees you chop down, will now, they kind of have a persistence. So you chop it down, and it will go rolling. It will go rolling. So you can use it to damage people's builds. You can use it to deal damage and stuff like that. So it's kind of a really cute addition to the game.
Instead of them just disappearing and showing up in your inventory, that's neat. All right. I just re-downloaded it. So I wasn't going to jump into it until the Mandalorian, until Boba Fett showed up later this month. But I think I'll jump in now that they've added Marcus and Kate to the game. So.
Oh, yeah. We didn't check the price.
No, that's why I downloaded to go check the price because Walt said they weren't in the store yet. So, all right. So that's Fortnite that you played a little bit of. Tony, you play anything this week?
Just a little bit of Halo and a little bit of Battlefield. I haven't played a ton of stuff.
The campaign in Halo?
Yes.
So I think we have all touched. Earl, did you get a chance to poke at
it
at all?
Not as much as I wanted to, but yes, the opening mission.
Okay. So, I mean, we'll kind of keep it around there, maybe touch briefly on some of the open world stuff, but story-wise, just like kind of that opening mission. Jeff, I think you've maybe played more than us now.
Halo?
Yeah.
I'm right around where you said you were. Okay. I got into the open world, and I messed around for, I don't know, half an hour
all right,
in the open
world. Maybe I'm a little bit further in than you then.
I'm curious now because Jeff, you said that you had difficulty with the first boss. What were you counting as the first boss?
It's the guy right before you get to the open world.
The guy with the shield, right? Yeah. There, he has like a Ammonious health bar over him.
Okay.
I didn't have trouble. Like, just the first time, you know, I honestly, the first time I hurt him a bunch. And then I went to go like recover, and then he recovered as well. I didn't realize that was a thing. And the second time I did what Chris said, I fucking came at him and fucking stuck a sticky grenade in his face, and it like took 3/4 of his health right away. And then I just easily finished him off.
Yeah, did you come up on that one yet, Earl?
Oh no, what happened? I mean, essentially, I tried to do it before work, but I had to go into the office this morning. So I just kind of stopped, and then I was going to come home to play, and another team at the office was like, they're doing their Christmas event today. They had a free ticket. I'm like, I got no fans. Let me go. And literally, I got home. I thought the Game Awards were at 9. I got home at 7:30. Like, somebody's like, oh, yeah, they're starting tonight. God damn it. So I basically went for more. So after this is over, that's my intention to hop on and play while we're after we finish recording.
Sure. So yeah, there are bosses in this, like actual named characters, and when you fight them, they will have a dual health bar above their head, white, which is the shields, and you lower those, and then a red health bar that is their actual health. I don't think that recovers, Jeff. I think only the white bar goes shield, back.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, you end up fighting them, and it's very Zelda-ish in that way. Because I've now actually fought a second boss, so I'm further in than Jeff now. It seems like right before you meet the bosses, they give you like a piece of equipment to utilize. And I do believe, like, right before that first boss is when you kind of get the, is it the shield or, it might be the shield or the grapple shot. I think you already have the grapple shot from the beginning.
Yeah.
So you, like, pick up this shield item and it, like, boosts your shields a little bit. And then you fight this guy who also has shields. Better shields than, like, a regular elite. And... I think you stay away from him, and he has like these two like little minions around him as well that have So I found it easier to take them out first and then work on him. But yeah, so there's bosses, which at first I wasn't sure I liked the health bar. I was like, that's weird, because nobody else has a health bar. But as I fought him, I was like, yes, I'd like to know where, you know, when he's going to die. Because I remember the boss battle at the end of 2, which was the brute with the hammer. And you just don't know, like, when he's going to die. Because he's stronger than the other brutes. And so you're just pumping bullets into him. And this time around, like, you at least know, as Jeff said, like, you know, when that shield pops, you can kind of move in, hit him with a sticky, lower his shields down, hit him with some of your AR or whatever, and back off. So, yeah, there's that. Think, Jeff, was it right before there was, like, a platforming section?
I think it was the end of the first level where, like, everything's blowing up and you're running out of there fucking right. Metroid style. And, like,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Then you get the Halo Infinite, like, title card, like, right after that.
Right, and then you make it back to the ship and then tell the poor guy that, no, we have stuff to do.
That poor guy just wanted to get home. I should say once. He's not dead yet, so.
Yeah, at all the time. Like, that's his whole shtick so far in the first, like, few hours that I played, is he's just like, we need to go. Oh, you found more people. Okay, well, they can come with us, but we need to go. It's time to go home.
He don't know who his passenger is. Well, he does know who his passenger
is. Yeah, he knows. He picked them up, but...
And I was about to say, I do like that they still somehow found a way to get the whole Master Chief open when you have to go up and down to make it.
Every game. You gotta have that in there.
Even when he's floating in space, they found a way to do it.
I thought that one worked out fairly well.
I really like that he did it. I was just like laughing. It's kind of like it's like a Metroid when she uses her powers. It's just like it has to be done. But like usually, like before, it used to be like him waking up in containment or something. Yeah. This one's like him, like already in. Like, we're just gonna plug you in to do this for us because we need it done.
Yeah. So far, like, I mean, it feels like Halo. It looks like Halo. The grapple hook adds a new dynamic, I think, to the combat.
I guess you both haven't explored the open world too much. Do you have that permanently?
Yes.
Then almost. Okay.
So, unlike in multiplayer, where it's a pickup on the ground, Master Chief will get. This is actually one of the new things. Jeff and I were talking about this in the chat earlier today. There's like an RPG mechanic, actually. To everything. So you pick up these things called armor cores, and they're basically skill points, and you use them to upgrade your equipment. And as you get new equipment, you can select it. So after the grapple shot, you'll pick up the shield, and that doesn't really have you don't select the shield. It's just like a passive ability, a passive piece of equipment that you can upgrade. But you'll also get like the beacon thing where the scanner, and you can flip between the grapple shot and the scanner.
Okay.
And there's a recharge on them, so like you can't just like spam the grapple over and over again.
Yeah, I knew there was a recharge. I didn't know if that was something they did just for the tutorial or the opening level.
Nope, you have it, so it's a good time.
And my favorite part is when you do hit and you kind of see like some of the enemies like ducking their heads to cover when you come flying in on the grapple.
Yeah. Very detailed. Like the enemies are very kind of aware of your surroundings. Although
they know who you are.
Yeah. Which is very, very Halo-ish. It's the demon.
Those little guys shouting as you kill them—it's just the my favorite part.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost, I need to find this goal where every time I give them a headshot, I get my confetti. I missed my celebration.
You need the grunt birthday party.
Yeah.
That one's out there somewhere. To note, though, I mean, I guess there's the first two levels are kind of, they're not repeatable. Well, the missions themselves aren't repeatable as of yet.
Yeah, so, I think they said today there's going to be a patch.
Yeah.
So that means there are skulls missable then.
Yes, yeah, so the first two levels, which are linear levels before you get to the open world, you can't return to. So you can miss those skulls currently. Okay, I guess the patch will allow you to go back at some point. But and then the open, you get outside after the first two linear levels, and the world opens up, and it's a good time. I was afraid it was going to be Far Cry Halo. It doesn't really seem that way. You are taking over bases, but I don't know. Seems a little bit more structured than how Far Cry does it, or how Far Cry did it. I haven't played.
Yeah, game. Maybe, but if I had to describe it, someone would be like that, or like to my girlfriend, I was like, imagine Halo mixed with Breath of the Wild, and she was like, she doesn't know what Halo really is. Okay, yeah, whatever. Nodding her head.
It's like
I like that, you know, like yeah. That. To me, though, like that idea, like even if you call it like, I don't know, some people like, I guess don't want to say that, like it's Far Cry mixed with Halo, but like to me, like that idea is such an awesome idea for Halo. Like Halo is already like this kind of playground, like sandbox style combat.
Yep.
And then you blow that out to an open world, it just totally makes sense. And I just love, I love that whole, like, I don't know, over here there's a mini boss, over here there's like you know, some sort of like, you know, even like, and the thing I did not expect was like the light RPG element, like the, you know, like skill points that you could pick up, like those are hidden across the map. I don't know. Like, again, I've only scratched the very surface of that.
That's such fun. Like, I
very like, it's just, you're taking something that's fun in this very designed way and then blowing it out to like, hey, go in any direction you want. Like, I love that.
Yep. And that, yeah, you said like there's like these kind of like high value targets that you can hit. There's all these like different objectives. There's tons of collectibles. The map doesn't look super littered though. And maybe that's just because like it doesn't unlock until you get to like a new area and unlock that base, and then it kind of gives you a little bit more of a view. But it doesn't, like, it's not like overwhelming looking at the map. There's a ton of stuff to collect.
It's kind of, as far as I understand it, like restricted, you know. So like it's like it keeps itself from being overwhelming by giving you small slices at a time.
Yeah. And also I found out, so did you do the first base, Jeff?
I've done a couple bases, and I said, like, I did one called like a ransom base. Like it was like a little different looking symbol, and it was like,
yeah,
run around and it was like, did you do that one? And you had to fuel things.
Fuel tanks. Yeah. You blow up the fuel tanks, and there's like a secondary objective there as well.
Yeah, so it's not just take over the base, it's do these objectives taking over the base. Like,
so doing that one, I think you get something called Valor Points. There's like all these like different systems that I haven't really figured out yet, but the Valor Points seem to be like experience. And as you rank up there, I guess, that'll allow you to call in new weapons and vehicles. So when you unlock the first forward operating base, all you really have access to is like a mongoose.
Yeah.
And then as you get these valor points, though, you'll be able to like call in a tank if you want. Like if you get to a high enough level in it. So it's like you can, like, you're just going to be at some point, just, it's going to be like the ultimate Halo sandbox.
And you get those. How do you get those again?
The I guess as you're doing like the, like that ransom base, which was like the fuel tanks. or killing bosses or doing the there's like these okay. high value targets. So if you hit them, you'll get valor points, and as you rank up there, like you'll get access to better and better equipment that you can call in from your pilot buddy. He'll complain about it the whole time, but he'll drop it off. I don't know where he's getting this shit from. Because
don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah, like there's no command structure at this point. Like you're kind of the ranking officer, it seems like. It's interesting. It's fun. And I guess one of the big things that people were concerned about multiplayer wise was that you wouldn't be able to get unlocks for multiplayer in campaign. There are straight up caches of like multiplayer unlocks. Like they have no purpose in the world. They don't serve any purpose for Master Chief at all, but you find them and it'll unlock something on the multiplayer side for you. And there's a bunch of those out there.
It's, I don't know, man. Like it's, Halo's always very fun, and this is like doing something different with it that like makes 100% sense.
Yeah.
It's not 100% how I felt about like Breath of the Wild. I feel like Breath of the Wild is a bigger game just based off of what I know. Again, I haven't played a ton of this one, but it's doing that same thing. It's like, hey, this thing you've loved forever, we're going to do it different. We're going to like pay attention to what's going on with modern games. And like it just fits for Halo. Like it just so far really fits. It's really fun taking over bases. I've not done like any of the main missions out in the open world yet. And I don't know how much they like close it off and like here's a level. I'm sure they do. Mm-hmm. But that's awesome too. Like that's how I want like Breath of the Wild 2 to be, where it's like you close it off and make it more of a real dungeon. I'm like, those bigger dungeons in, there's only four of them in Breath of the Wild, don't feel as full-fleshed out as as they would be in another regular Zelda game.
Right. You
know? It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really, really enjoying it. It's quite good. Tony, Earl, you're going to play more of it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I just need to figure out what to do. But yes, I'm going to play. I'm going to do some dailies in Fortnite, and I'll get on it after the podcast.
I do assume. So my understanding is that the biome that you start in, which is kind of like if you play Big Team Battle in the multiplayer, it's that. It's kind of like this foresty area. Very reminiscent of the second level of Halo Combat Evolved, where you know you crash land in the dropship on the Halo, and like you kind of make your way. So kind of like a semi-open area in Combat Evolved. This is way more open, but it has like that same feel to it. Like they took that level and just made a whole game out of it. But it's that biome. It's just like this forest, river, lake type, temperate climate. And we know that Halos are big. So I could see like us getting like expansion, single player expansion content that would give us access to like the snowy area or whatever. So I think that could be really cool. And this is supposed to be a 10-year thing. Who knows if that's accurate or not, but I'd like to see more single player Halo content before 6 years.
Yeah, that would be nice. That's the dream. I'm curious. I really wish we can get like a review of like all of these, like we're going to be a game forever.
Yeah. Yeah, cuz like Destiny was supposed to be that, but then they did Destiny 2 like what, 3 years after.
Though ironically, I feel like Destiny 2 is on its way to doing that.
Yeah, I mean they've been around for a good chunk of time now, and doesn't look like they're working on Destiny 3. Like they're still adding new expansion content to Destiny 2. So All right. Well, Tony, anything more on Battlefield?
I am occasionally encountering bugs now. The most annoying of which, you could load into a match and then not be able to adjust your loadout, which is super frustrating. If you're like, I like to play as an engineer, which, you know, I like to walk around with my bazooka or my anti-aircraft weapon. If you can't change the loadout, the engineer becomes instantly useless. Because all you can do is toss an ammo crate.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so you're like, there's a vehicle next to me. There are vehicles all over all the spawn points, but I can't spawn as somebody who can actually damage a vehicle. And if you end up in a match like that, it doesn't get fixed until you literally either end the match and then quit out of the game, or, like, I did have it once automatically fix when the match ended and it, like, loaded me into a new match and I was able to, like, change my loadout again. But that's pretty frustrating. But actually playing Battlefield is still so much fun. It's so much chaos and destruction, and I don't know. The more I play, the more I enjoy it.
The maps are ridiculously large.
They are huge. They're absolutely huge. Walking around at the beginning is probably not advisable. You almost always want to spawn in a vehicle.
Yep.
To start out the match, because it's so far to go. Like, once the battlefield, like, gets, like, you know what's going on, you know where the fight is and all that stuff, then you can actually spawn as an infantryman and, like, walk to where you want to be. But, like, if you're fighting over this point on one end of the map and you take it and it just doesn't happen to be next to the next point, you have a long way to go.
Yeah. I play a little bit of the trial, and my team was terrible. I think they had one point unlocked. So it was like either spawn there, spawn on your team, but if they're all dead, you can't spawn on them.
Right.
Or back at the main, like the spawn point, the starting base. Like, or you can spawn in a vehicle. So I spawned in a jet. Jesus, those things are impossible to control. And then somebody spawned in my jet with me.
And then you were...
And then I immediately killed us both.
I mean, then you felt bad. Then you ended up on somebody else's video where they were making fun of you.
Yeah, where, like, look at this idiot. He flipped us upside down and then just nosedived into the ground.
Yeah. Some of them are, like, the hovercraft is basically the Warthog. Like, if you try to drive that thing around, that thing, like, the end is flying out every time you try to make a turn. Like, it is hard. I had Walt in it with me the other night. And, like, I'm finally learning how to turn. And, of course, I turn, I go around a corner, and I run straight into a tank.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what Battlefield is. Like, it's just, you never know what's going to, like, sometimes you're going to go on a streak where you get, like, a vehicle, or you just get, like, really good spot to pick people off. Or other times you're going to turn a corner, there's going to be a tank. Just die. Like, right. Well, good. I'm glad you're enjoying that, even though some of those bugs that other people have been experiencing are popping up in your game.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been so bad. Like, it hasn't been unplayably bad. Just occasional thing. It's better. Walt keeps saying this to me. It's better than Apex right now. So,
which has a new map, right?
Which has a new map. Yeah.
But you guys are avoiding that.
I think we're over it. Like, we spent so much time playing Apex. It's time to move on.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Earl, there's Halo. Battlefield.
And Halo is particularly good this year. So.
Yeah.
Earl, you play anything else?
Well, I was trying out the. Yes, I did play. I not the single player. We were trying to figure out a new play game. So I did try Mass Effect Andromeda's co-op mode, which is interesting, in particular if you've not played
Andromeda.
Yeah.
I could see that being an issue.
Yeah, yeah. And we skip the tutorial, so it's like kind of already on the road, on the go. But no, so far it you know, it's a learning curve, but it's been interesting. You know, I mean, again, I don't know how true this is. It seems more class based, so you kind of have to know your class, and learning their powers and, you know, upgrading it. I think that the RPG elements are a bit slow, because you get, I mean, I guess if we completed one, we would might get more XP. But if you get so little XP that it takes several rounds for you to actually level up to anything manageable. But yeah, I you know, and then because I thought it was like a story co-op thing. It's not story based.
No, it's more like a almost like a horde mode.
Yes, it is. Yeah, but I mean, I think that would be cool. I mean, we'll see, because you know, we're playing what is that game? Dark Alliance. But one of our friends is out for a work trip this week, so we just thought it would be nice to try this out to see if it's a potential for the next game. And it seems interesting, but I personally try Alien
Fire Team Elite.
Yes, first. So we'll see when that. But again, we have a game that we need to beat first, so we can't go thinking too far ahead.
To note with Fire Team Elite, I think it is a 3-player game, not a 4-player game.
Yeah, there's only 3 of us now. I mean, it's more, but they never show up, so we don't count them.
But yeah, if you have 2 other people to play with Fireteam Elite, I think that'll be a fun time. It's not anything groundbreaking, but I think it'll be fun.
Yes, and then the other thing is, I was trying out. Did I mention last week that I tried out Cameo?
Yeah, you said that you wanted to play a little bit more of it, or was that a different game?
Because what happened with Cameo, I did not realize it does have co-op, but in order to actually co-op, you actually have to progress in the main game. And because it only gives you like one stage, and we beat it twice, and it didn't open up another stage. And that was annoying. And my friend is very particular with the games he plays, so like the finding co-op games that he will play is a time tell. But we started Kirby Superstar on the Super Nintendo.
Okay.
And that, you know, that is enjoyable. The big hook here, even though it all kind of fades at Kirby right now, is that it is like 8 games in one. So like there's different types of mini games, I guess, within it, which isn't actually true. I mean, it's all, like I said, it's basically Kirby. You get to a boss, you fight the boss. But like this, like, you know, like there's been some twists, like the Meta Knight one, like you're on his ship, and on his ship, like different stuff will pop up. So different, like it's like, okay, you know, go here and do this. And when you do that, like Meta Knight will kick you out, and then you come to a different part of his ship, and like the engine's on fire. You need to get out the engine room before it fills up, or you need to, you know, turn on the power so that you can get here. So yeah, it's a Super Nintendo game. Some of the powers are neat, but I'm enjoying it. Again, I like using the Super Nintendo app every so often. I think that's that for me though.
Nice. I got a pair of games real quick. Dead Rising 4 started that. It's a Christmas game.
Is it a Christmas game? Like Die Hard's a Christmas movie?
And, you know, partially in a mall again. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the opening level is in a mall. That game's bad, though.
I mean, my opinion on Dead Rising is I really, really love and respect the first one, and kind of love that series because of that. But, like, the first one, second one, third one, fourth one, all of them, not super great. And
sure. I remember really liking the third one.
I thought you were crazy when you said that. Like the third one was like the same game, but kind of stripped of color.
I don't know.
It was like this gray city environment.
I mean, it was definitely a city environment. It was legitimate open world, like, which I think I enjoy more than this, which is like kind of open world, but leveled off. So it's like, okay, you have a you have a case and it takes place in this section of the town, or like the first case takes place in the mall. And once you're done there, then we're going to bring you to a different open world area. But there's really not anything to do open world wise. Like there's like a couple like, oh, go here and, you know, save the survivor type thing. But there's not actual like missions. It's just kind of like follow along. One thing I will say about it, I do like the investigative aspect where it's like they give you this area and it's, you have to find clues to unlock the information in the case. But Frank West is annoying. He's like a bad character.
Yeah. Which is why I like how they do him in the movie. Because they kind of acknowledge that he's not a good character. And they have fun with it. Because it's Rob Riggle.
Mm.
Who, kind of an asshole actor. In a good way.
Yeah, I mean, he plays a complete... like he is a good jackass. Like a good asshole.
Yes. And yes, and I think the second game misses him in that regard. I mean, the second movie, I should say. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, the second game I don't think has Frank either. They did like a remake, reboot of the second one that involved Frank, but called Case West or something like that. But I don't remember that one being very good. Yeah, I don't know how much more of this I'm going to play. Like, it's cool it takes place at Christmas, but...
So it is Spider-Man.
And Spider-Man is a significantly better game. So, the other game I've been playing, you guys heard of The Forgotten City?
Oh, yeah, it's on Game Pass.
Yeah.
It's one of the 500-point games. Month.
Yes. Yes.
Chris is saying it.
Well, so I downloaded that, and there was like another one that, For Honor, we're both on there, but I deleted off For Honor. I'll save that for another day. The Forgotten City, though, interesting game. One, it started out as a mod of Skyrim, where they like took the engine of Skyrim, redid some assets, and made it into like during the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. And it is ostensibly it's like it's an adventure game. Like you're not really fighting a whole lot. You do get weapons, but you don't really need to fight a ton, because a lot of it is figuring out like this mystery, why you're here, where you're at specifically. It kind of plays a little bit like Groundhog's Day, where there's like a time loop, where if the day ends or the thing goes bad, so if anybody dies or commits a sin in the city, everybody dies. Like these golden statues come to life, they shoot the people that live there and turn them gold. So kind of like Midas, or somebody called it like a cross between like Medusa and Midas, like where Medusa would turn you into stone, Midas turned things into gold. So it kind of said that like it's kind of a cross, like the curse is a cross between that. But if you can escape, get back to the portal, it'll dump you back out in the, like as a new day. So basically you can like start over the events and continue, but now you have all the information you had previously and all anything you picked up. So if you picked up any money or items, you can then utilize them on this basically a second run of the time, or third or fourth or whatever. The mystery is pretty cool. You're trying to figure out why you're in this like weird time loop, time paradox type thing. Why these people from the Roman Empire living in this underground city. It's very interesting. I don't want to like spoil the story too much, outside of like the premise that it's a loop type game. Very cool. Just don't like expect when there is combat, it's not great, but also if you've played Skyrim, you kind of already know that. So, But I would say give it a shot. Like, story very, very well done. I think it might have been up for best indie game at the Game Awards. And I have seen some people talking about how it's like their favorite game of the year. I don't know if I'd go that high with it, but I'm enjoying my time with it. It may end up in my top 10.
The other thing I would say, they how it handles kind of the ammo situation with like the ammo crates, and then sometimes you'll find, I assume it's different in the open world, but you'll find, what am I trying to say? You'll find like weapon cache. Because, like, yeah, sometimes the enemies carry really crappy weapons, and you need a gun in an instant.
Yeah, it was a weird change at first. Like, what is this? Like, fill my kinetic ammo, fill my energy ammo. Yeah. That's weird. But as I did it, it's like, you know what? Like, I don't want to pick up a plasma pistol because they suck.
Well,
yep.
I find myself having to like scramble the things for sure. And like anytime I set down my assault rifle, I'm marking my head where I left it.
Immediately,
I'll never see it again. Like, where did that go? I don't ever see it on the racks.
No, they're like lying around though. You'll find them like sitting on top of like crates and stuff. Like they're not necessarily like they're not on the racks like they were in previous Halo games where you come up on like a UNSC area.
But again, that also makes sense from a story standpoint, yeah. Because they're not alien weapons. Does it make sense if most of your teammates are dead that there's a bunch of weapons
right in around? And at the FOBs, you can also like spawn weapons there. So if you need your assault rifle, Jeff, you can just go back to one of them and get one. But I do think enemies will respawn. And there looks like there might be a third type of weapon as well. Because I came across, it's like blue is like energy ammo, orange is kinetic ammo. I came across like a purple one. I don't remember what it was called, but
usually I imagine that's probably like special, like probably like the rockets.
Yeah, like heavy ammo maybe.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
That's kind of what Destiny does. I forget what Destiny calls it, but yeah, Destiny, the energy kinetic, and then it's like the special weapon has its own ammo type,
which it does feel like what feels very Destiny-ish in a way, like the way the skill points work, and but it's like they took Destiny and modified it for Halo.
I was gonna say, speaking of Destiny and Halo, I mean, it's not major news, but that came out this week that they're bringing the battle rifle and the pistol from Halo into Destiny 2. I think it's called the BXR, and I forget what the pistol is called, but yeah, because it's, I think, Bungie's 30th anniversary.
Yes.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. If they're easy to get, that is pretty neat. I guess they're bringing the Galahorn back too, which is that legendary rocket launcher, as well as making that into a Nerf gun.
I guess it makes sense. It's so funny though to just kind of see Nerf doing all this stuff. Because there's also, like, Nerf has a Halo gun, which is selling out super quickly, because apparently it gives you an exclusive,
I think it gives you a skin color or something like that. Or...
Yeah. So, because I was going to get one for my friend for Christmas, and I went, and, like, within, like, 30 seconds, it sold out.
But you can get challenge swaps if you order a burrito from Chipotle.
And if you order from Grubhub, so maybe you can double up. You can get a special emote from Final Fantasy 14.
Right. And I'm sure there's probably like Doritos or some energy drink that is also giving out stuff with one of the games. So, all right. What was that?
I was going to say, if you want something extra on phone, you can rewatch the Game Awards.
Yeah. What did win Game of the Year?
It Takes Two.
Wow.
Really?
Yep. right. Which I will have a lot to say about when we talk about our game of the year. That is not my game of the year.
All right. Well, we will. We'll be doing game of the year, but not until January.
Yes. Which is what is nice. What is our year calendar?
So I think regular episode next week. Thinking Hall of Fame episode the week after, which is the week of Christmas, and then I don't know. Okay. We had a misinterpreted offer of Walt and Sean doing Shrek and Blood In, Blood Out, but that they thought they were recording Recurring Nightmares, which we told them no, it's not a thing. So I don't know. We'll figure something out for that week, or maybe take the week of New Year's Eve off. And then a recap in early January of the year, and then game of the year.
More people should do recaps. Because, yes, one of my favorite things about the Game Awards, I said that about a bunch of stuff, is that Halo won the fan-voted Game of the Year, or whatever that is, but it's not actually up for the it's not actually up for the award in it's not actually eligible for the award in Game Awards. And it's like, yeah, it's so weird that people who literally got to play the game for like 2 weeks were like, yeah, we love this game, and people who had it, it's like, yeah, we don't know, we can't say anything yet.
Right. Like, I don't know. Game Awards rules are weird.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to remember. I mean, maybe they will, because Cyberpunk was nominated for Best RPG. So maybe it will get nominated for something next year. But will anybody actually care at that point?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, what is the nicest way to say this? People's memory spans are really short. Like, even Cyberpunk, I mean, Cyberpunk has its own issues, but even then, people were like, why was this nominated? And I feel like December games are just a weird mixture of, like, the year's over and we don't care, and, like, we're not going to remember it next year.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it looks like Jeff died.
R.I.P.
He disappeared from here. We'll be back with Halo next week. And you know, whatever else we're finalizing playing for the rest of the year, before, do a, as just said, a Hall of Fame episode, and I'll put out a feeler for the, listener entries.
Okay. Sounds like a game plan.
And, yeah. And then we'll be back. Earl, take us out.
Okay, so we will bid you farewell and catch you same bat time. Well, actually not same bat time, but good night.